We're getting tired of losing lives, war. And you keep searching for something worth fighting for. Well, God's got an army. We've been proved and tried. So come on over to the winning side. Come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We have a better hell high. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side. We march through the fire, but the fire won't burn. We march through the water, but old Pharaoh won't learn. Then we march through the lion's den, and old Daniel replied, these lights can't hurt me, cause I'm on the winning side. Come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We got our banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side. If you're getting tired of losing life's war, and you keep searching for something worth fighting for, well, God's got an army. We've been proved and tried. So come on over to the winning side. Come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We got our banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side. We march through the fire, but the fire won't burn. We march through the water, an old fellow won't learn. Then we march through the lion's den, but old Daniel replied, these lights can't hurt me, cause I'm on the winning side. Come on over, on the winning side. We're following Jesus. We got our banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side.
See, you and I, we've been proven and tried. We've gone through. That's why the Lord gave us His mandate. You have to prove yourself. We've been proven and tried. So come on over to the winning side. We're not going back anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not going into reverse. Because we've been proven and tried. We've been through the fire. We've been through the water. We've been through the lion's den. That means everything that these religiologists, these spiritual terrorists, threw at us. Mm-hmm. They're dressed up as holy people, but they're not that holy.
They usually are dressed up holy. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory.
It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, oh, that has never yet been told. I have found His grace is all complete, His supply at every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that has never yet been told. I have found a pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from the awful guilt of sin. It is joy unspeakable, full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the heaven has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the heaven has never yet been told. I have found a joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the blessed has never yet been told.
That's all I ever wanted in life. Mm-hmm. A family where you can sit around. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I have saved from the awful guilt of sin. I have found the pleasure I once craved.
I came up to a certain time in my life. The Lord was dealing with me. He says, I want you to, before you leave the house, I want you to have devotion with the family. Well, I ran into some roadblocks. My wife, she was the best mother for my children that you could find. But when it comes to spiritual things, I couldn't get this thing off the ground. I couldn't have devotion in the morning, you know, before you leave the house. But the Lord was beginning to deal with me back then, back in the early 90s, you know, before he put me on this journey. Half fellowship, half devotions with the family before he leave the house. So I tried, and I know, man, did I run into a brick wall. My kids still remember it, I'm sure. But see, it doesn't work, you know, to fight around. Let's say you would want to do what we're doing, and I didn't, or vice versa. Then you get friction within the camp, you know? Mm-hmm. And God don't like that. And so he just told me, well, just leave it be. Well, I had to just let her have her way. She told me, we didn't get raised that way, and my children wouldn't get raised up that way either. Well, the Lord was putting me on this course. Half of devotion before you leave the house. Well, that was my dream, eh? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't fulfill it. But we're doing it now, you know. The Lord knew what I wanted. So now you and I, that's what we're doing. That's why the Lord put us on this course, on this journey. Now, anybody that, there's people that'd like to join us, but, you know, you can do that at home with the children, you know, with their family. Mm-hmm. It's good. When that split came with that Hutterite split, those two split, the Lord let me know there's going to be another split. And this is here, that third split. You don't need to go to these compounds, these synagogues of Satan and their brainwashing sessions. That's all the churches are. It's a brainwashing session. You can do exactly what we're doing. You can get up with your children, have do something spiritually. Get up in the morning and do what we're doing here. If you want to be part of us, because we're headed for glory, whether people like it or not. You're going to be in that bridal chamber, whether people like it or not. And in order to be part of you, they got to do what you're doing, you know. It's not that hard. You got to be really humble to do what we're doing. You, mm-hmm. you get up, let's say the wife wants to do it and the husband doesn't. Well, you do it by yourself. You don't have to start up a fight and all that.
Because, you know, now, in today's age and thing, you're going to have, you don't usually have that much harmony anymore. If they both agree to do that, and the family, that's fine and dandy if you can find somebody where both parents agree to do what we're doing here. That, oh man, it'll be a glorious thing. Because that's what the Lord wanted us to do. That's what he woke us up to do. We're setting a standard. We're setting an example for people that want to be part of us and that eternal age. Well, they got to do what we're doing. It's just that simple. It only goes hard the first month or so. After a while, you kind of look forward to it. And it takes the ability to sit down with your children. It's a lot easier to shove them off into the kindergarten or give them to the German school teacher and things like that. And just send them off to church and to some brainwashing session. It's a lot easier to do that. But mm-hmm. to take responsibility, imagine, you know what, if all the colonies did that, what the glorious thing it would be. They all set, got up a little bit early in the morning and just spend half an hour. Just start with something because, like I say, it takes humility. You sit down with your family. There's people that call us up. They'd like to be part of us. And, well, if that's what you want, you do what we're doing. You get up in the morning and you get the family around the table and do what we're doing. You don't have to move here to do what we're doing. In fact, that's what they did in the early church. Everybody had his home, and everybody did it at home in their house, and they went from house to house. The apostles did to break bread, to give them communion from house to house, because they didn't have these church buildings where it devolved into synagogues of Satan, mm-hmm. where one man controls the whole Gestapo. Mm-hmm. And all it is, all these churches are, they're brainwashing sessions. They brainwash you to their way of thinking.
Indoctrinations, that's all it is.
This is that third group. That take you right to glory. If you do that, sit around at home with your family, like you and I, when that COVID came here a few years back, about a month before it came, the Lord gave us Psalm 91. They will, pestilence will come nigh to your dwelling. And that COVID didn't even as much as touch it, because we're about the Lord's business. You go read Psalm 91, read it over and over. It'll tell you exactly what I'm saying is 100% true. No pestilence will come nigh to your brother. That COVID did not as much as touch us. And we didn't even wear a mask and all that garbage. We've got a ticket for going into the store without a mask. Mm-hmm. Because we know the Word of God is true, you know. It's worth a trip. Mm-hmm. Every time I do a deed I shouldn't do, every time I say a word I should not say, let me tell you what I do, and it brings a blessing too. I just steal away somewhere and I pray. I just steal away, I just steal away, and I ask my blessed Lord to lead the way. I just steal away, I just steal away, I just steal away somewhere and I pray. Oftentimes I'm made to bow my head in shame at some idle thought or deed long lost away, but I never am ashamed of my Savior's precious name. I just steal away somewhere and I pray. I just steal away, I just steal away, and I ask my blessed Lord to lead the way. I just steal away, I just steal away, I just steal away somewhere and I pray. I know God will hear and answer all my prayer if I thank Him for His blessings every day. When I'm burdened down with grief, He will give my heart relief. When I steal away somewhere
prey.
I just steal away, I just steal away, and I ask my blessed Lord to lead away. I just steal away, I just steal away, I just steal away somewhere in the prey. I know God will hear and answer all my prayers if I thank Him for His blessings every day. When I'm burdened down with grief, He will give my heart relief. When I steal away somewhere and I pray, I just steal away, I just steal away, and I ask my blessed Lord to lead the way. I just steal away, I just steal away, I just steal away somewhere and I pray. Like it's easier if you're getting tired of losing life's war and you keep searching for something worth fighting for. See, this thing what we got, it's worth fighting for. God's got an army. We've been proven and tried. Mm-hmm. You and I, we've been proven and tried. This is the chapter. This is the group that's going to go right to the, right into eternity to come on over on the winning side. But you're going to put an effort in. You got to do something about it. You can't just be like a piece of driftwood and then expect when something happens we'll come a running. You got to do something. You got to kind of create an atmosphere in your home. Get up in the morning, sing some praises, do something for the Lord, so that the angels of the Lord, they camp about, round about them that fear Him. And mm-hmm. then throughout the day, the calamity is not going to hit you. These pestilence and all that stuff that's going on around the world, people come in, they rob you, they steal you. Well, you got to do something about it. You got it. In order to have God's protection and safety, you got to get up in the morning and you got to do exactly what we're doing here. We're not worried about what's going to happen, because like I told you, before that pestilence hit, before that COVID came, the Lord woke us up a month before that, and then He let us know it's not going to hit you. Just that simple. Life isn't that complicated. But you got to put in an effort. You can't go down with following the trend of society, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got to get out of your way a little bit to do something, to get these angels to make them happy so they can stick around. You're not going to stick around if you drink and you argue and you fight. The angel of the Lord ain't going to stick around that kind of an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You got to exercise an atmosphere of humility and do something for the Lord. So these angels will stick around, you know. The angels of the Lord kept it around about them that fear them. He ain't going to get hang around out where they argue and fight and the husband drinks, comes home drunk. That angel ain't going to stick around that kind of an atmosphere. You just got to use common sense. That's all we're doing. We're just trying to set a standard. That's pretty hard to find in this day and hour we're living in. And we ain't going back. We're not going into reverse. We're going full steam ahead. We don't know what the Lord has. I just had a feeling during the night that's remembering I saw something. God's going to be shifting gears here pretty soon. And I want to be ready when He does. I just don't know what it was. It will probably come back to me. But we're not going into no reverse. We're moving ahead. He has sounded forth the trumpet that will never call retreat. He is calling out the hearts of all before His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. this truth is marching on. Well, we'll continue with that thought. Obedience. We all got a problem with that. I'll just be honest. I was reading today, David, he asked the Lord to forgive him over his rebellion. In his youth, he had a lot of rebellion in him. And the Lord will do that. He'll get rid of that rebellion one way or another, because we all come into this world with a rebellious spirit. It's just something that the Lord has. It takes a lifetime to get rid of that. That rebellion that we have. And Samuel said that, you know the story of Saul, where he went out and he's supposed to destroy the Amalekites, and he never did. He kept the king, and they had kept the best of the cattle for a sacrifice. Thought he's doing God a great service. Bring these cattle back in the camp and sacrifice them, and bring that king back there. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He was told what to do. He was told to go wipe out the Amalekites. Everybody, women, children, everything, and the oxen and the cows and the cattle, get rid of everything. Just slaughter everything, he was told. And then he was told to wait till I come, and then we'll do whatever. And then I guess Saul, he couldn't wait for Samuel. Samuel told him to wait till I come, but he never did. And then he started sacrificing and doing his thing. And then Samuel came on the scene, and he saw what he did. He brought that king in, and he brought all these oxen in for sacrifice. And then Samuel came on the scene, and he called him in check. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? That's what people do. They think they can please God with doing a certain thing. But when it comes to being obedient, they kind of chill out. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being a king. I'll read a different translation. Then Samuel said, thus the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings. Like I say, you can read a whole chapter if you don't know what took place back in the days of, in the Old Testament, the days of Saul, how he went out, and thought he was doing great, God a great service when he brought that king and all that stuff back in, but he was disobedient to the Lord. The Lord was not pleased with it. Then Samuel said, thus the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he does obedience? Certainly obedience is better than sacrifice. Paying attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and divinity and presumption is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. That simple. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence once again, Lord, give you thanks for the things you've done with us throughout life, Lord, the way you've dealt with us, the way that brought us to this place where we are now today, Lord, to have devotions every morning and to go about the Lord's business every day. And Lord, we just give you thanks that we'll never take these things for granted, but we always have a passion and desire to do about the Father's business, Lord. We just pray you'll do with us as you see fit, Lord. Help us to be completely obedient. Help us to get rid of all the rebellion in our hearts. We're all saturated with it, with some a lot more, some a lot less, but at the end of the day, there's still some rebellion in each one of us, Lord. We just pray you'll help us to overcome it and to deal with it, Lord, while we still have the day of grace to do that, Lord. We just pray you'll open the hearts of the people, give them understanding, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it reads itself easy, but rebellion is in each one of us. That's what happened back in the prehistoric hours. People don't know what you and I know. We could walk right back when God had himself that council And it doesn't make us smarter than anybody, but see, we found grace in the eyes of God, and God allowed us to see what we're seeing here. And we went back, we can so down that back, way back before time even began, where God had himself accounts. And he made a blueprint. That great eternal spirit was God and God alone. You can see it in the beginning was the great Elohim, the great God, that great eternal spirit. He's always been, he always will be, and he's got no end, but he began to sit down and make a blueprint, because he had a desire along to have a family one day, and a family that will worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And the first thing that came up was he wanted a son. And then he made that blueprint, and then once that blueprint was established, he made an infrastructure. He had to create a planet where it's gonna really what it is. It's a laboratory where all of us are gonna be tested. The first thing he created was he created these angels. All of them, every one of them, they were perfect. And you can read it over in Job 38. All the sons of God shouted for joy. And the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Every angel was in harmony. But then God created the universe. God created a laboratory. More or less said, I'm going to create a planet, and on there I'm going to put animals. But in there I'm going to test each one of these angels that I created. And you got freedom of choice. You can do, I'll give you your job. I'll give you your job assignment. And you can do, you got freedom to go do your own thing, or you got the freedom to stay within your God-given assignment. And then these angels and Jude, they decided one day they can do a better job. But they did. They rebelled against God, against the job that God gave them, and they went out and did their own thing. You can read it in Jude. The angels, they come not the first to state, then they got to go into Second Peter. They said, the angel that sinned, if you leave your God-given qualification and your God-given ability and the job that God asked for you, eventually you're going to sin. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to these angels and Jews. They eventually sinned, and then they started messing with the genetics of these animals, and they got these animals to kill one another. They were given the law of genetics, and then, like I say, they messed with the genetics, and they knew exactly how to mess up the genetics. And these animals began to kill one another, and so much that the Lord had to come out to see and destroy that whole animal kingdom, destroy the planet, and put it into an ice age. And then that's when he tested these angels and Jude. And then he had to recreate this planet again. That's when now he's going to test the morning star. He's going to test Lucifer. He's going to test Michael, he's going to test Gabriel, and then Lucifer fell, and that's why you have the problems we have on this planet. Mm-hmm. And then when we come into this world, we come with all these attributes that Satan has on him. We got all these attributes that these angels and Jude have. We come into this world born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we come into this world with a rebellious nature. And it takes a lifetime to flush all that out. That's why the Lord said, let there be light, and he came on the scene, and he gave mankind an opportunity to clean up his act. That's why you have to be born again, so you don't contribute to all that filth that's out there. That's why we put in an effort. That's why we do what we're doing, because we know when the minute we get up in the morning, we're gone, we're living right in Satan's kingdom, and Satan needs him, and every day they're saying think over and over, deception of such magnitude that it will deceive even the very elect. That's why we're doing what we do, because you have to put in an effort. You can't be just like a piece of driftwood and accept the Lord to have favor with you. You got to put in an effort, and it's all over the Bible what you have to do. That's why the epistles were written. That's why come on over on the winning side, because we've been tried and proven and true to be faithful to the Lord. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm.
Right, and you will read it in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 8. It says, you will go, like we know that the children of Israel, they kind of rebelled and they wanted a king like the other nations. So Samuel anointed Saul to be king by the Lord's instructions. Saul, he went out to look for his dad's donkeys. They were lost. So, and then somehow they got connected with Samuel, and Samuel anointed Saul to be king. Then he said to him, "You will go down to Gilgal before me. I'm going to join you there to offer burnt offerings and to make peace offerings. You should wait for 7 days until I arrive and tell you what to do." So that's what Samuel telling him, that he should wait for 7 days until he comes, and Samuel will offer up those sacrifices and peace offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And then he couldn't, and then the army was starting to get a little restless, and so he decided to go ahead, and he's going to do it himself. And that's going against the instructions of God, what God had. He just needed to wait. That's all he had to do. And here, a lot of people, they go into some things that they are totally not called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Saul here, he did exactly what God told him not to do. Because Samuel was the voice of God in that hour. He was the one who was instructing the people and leading them. And that's why that was disobedience. See, if he would have obeyed, the Lord would have, even with the army, like he didn't kill off certain, he was instructed to kill off all of the Amalekites. And he kept the best and the king. And that really made Samuel really angry, because God was testing him to see if he could be obedient and to listen to instructions, and he couldn't. And that if he would have done that, he would have established his whole kingdom, and the line down, just like David had established his kingdom because he was faithful to God. And the line of Judah remained a kingship throughout, even the line of David, you will see, is where Jesus came into the line of Judah. And that's how you can see how that established this kingdom for forever, you know. And that's what God would have done for Saul too. And that's what God would do for a lot of people. If they would only be found faithful and true what God calls them to be. But a lot of people, they're not satisfied with that humble little position that God has for them. Because in that, there is all the blessings that God wants to shower on a person. But people, they are so high-minded and think that they can do great things for God. And they step outside the will of God. And that's disobedience. And in the end, they don't have anything. See, God wants to give them a great reward. And then people, they lose that reward because they don't do what God requires of them and what God has called for them to do. And that's what Saul did. He missed that opportunity, and his family line was destroyed eventually. That's what happens to a lot of people. They do not want to be obedient in what God wants for these individuals, and then they end up not having anything.
Amen to that. We bring everything into today's hour. Like
mm-hmm.
we talk about that Dave Waller, that preacher Dave, then and he decided one day. Well, I went for a walk with him, and he decided one day he told me he wants to start up a radio ministry, and then once he gets that going, he wants to start up a TV ministry. And the Lord had been dealing with me. Like I keep telling you, Sam, I can only reward you for what you've allowed me to do through you. Well, when he told me that, I thought to myself, man, the living, you got all these ambitions, and they're probably good ideas, probably good ambitions. But how about waiting on the Lord, see what the Lord has for you? I didn't tell him, I just thought to myself. And then eventually starts up a little group down there, and eventually he starts up his radio ministry, and he eventually gets this thing off the go. And then time and time again, I try to tell him that God sent the prophet, and this is direction that you need to go. But he didn't listen. He wanted to to fill up his ego. All it is an ego trip. When you go up there and you start up your own ministry, just like Saul, he didn't wait for Samuel. He wanted to go out and do his own thing and run ahead of Samuel. When Samuel told, just wait 7 days and I'll show up. And instead of doing that, instead of waiting on the Lord like that, Dave, well, instead of waiting on the Lord every day, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what would you have me do? I prayed for 40 years, the Lord, let me see, Lord, what you want me to do. Help me to find my place in Christ. That's all the prayer I had for my children. Lord, let them find a place in Christ. Because once you find your place in Christ, and there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's why I'm talking about that day. Well, he couldn't wait. He went out there, did his own thing. And then, like for you and I, when that COVID came through, a month before that COVID came, the Lord already gave us Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. While that COVID came, and the Lord, David, preacher, he was not in touch with the Lord, and that COVID came and took him away. Just that simple.
That's right.
The proof is in the pudding. If you're walking with the Lord, all these pestilence, all these things, you can read it over in Psalm 91. None of them things will touch you. You'll just float right through, because you and I, we're about the Lord's business. We're doing what the Lord moved on me to do, to set a standard, set an example for people that someday they might want to live. If they want to join it and care about their eternal destiny, they'll do exactly what you and I are doing. We care about our eternal destiny. We're concerned about our children, and we're obedient to the Lord because we're doing exactly what God told back in the days of Hosea. Because you have rejected knowledge, because you have rejected the message for your day, I will forget you, and you will be no more priest before me, and I will forget your children. Mm-hmm. You take the flip side of it. I read that years ago, and when I found out God sent the prophet, I believed everything he said. I believe that he is that Malachi 4 prophet for the church age of Laodicea, and because I believed it, then you can read exactly what he told us here. Because you have believed the message for your day, I will make sure that you're going to be a priest before me, and I will remember your children. You got to take the flip side of things, and that's all we're doing. We're just about the Lord's business. We're doing whatever the Lord wants us to do, and the time and hour we're living in, there is only one message, and the church age will later see it. God sent a prophet, and then he did, like I say, and the days of the voice, all that Brother Branham and Brother Jackson was, they were voices. They were the vocal cords to a lost and dying world, and they were doing exactly what that angel told them to do. And it put the, if you could go back and listen to what they had to say, you'll be amazed the things that they brought out, all simply because they were listening to what the angel had to say. And they brought it to the people and the lost and dying world, and they rejected them. America rejected the prophet back in the 60s, and that's why the calamity is over America today.
That's right.
That's exactly what, for if you reject what we're saying here, the same calamity will come over you, because up just up the road here, it's the day of the Lord, the great tribulation. All these things are going to happen simply because people did not listen to the Lord. You and I, we listen and we hearken and we set our faith as a flint toward what God is doing and the hour we're living in. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people, like a lot of preachers, won't make it. Because when you will go back to John the Baptist, right? He was that voice in the wilderness, and he was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was baptizing down by the Jordan River, and these Pharisees went to spy everything out and ask him why he's baptizing if he's not the Messiah. But he was just preparing the way for Jesus, just like Brother Branham. He was preparing the way for Jesus down at the Ohio River. He was baptizing, and he saw there was a light, and he was told to look up, and he saw a light, and a voice spoke, and it said, just as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so will you and your message forerun my second coming, the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming. See how you can see that spirit of Elijah resting on the ministry of John the Baptist, and then it was resting on Brother Branham. That same spirit, that spirit of Elijah, that came back and in our day and hour in the Laodicea church hour. And these people, these preachers that rejected, they're just like Saul here. When Samuel said to him in verse 26, Samuel said to Saul, I will not go back with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. See, that was the word of the Lord. What Samuel had, he said, wait. And he instructed them, kill everything off for the Amalekites. Don't leave anything left. And he failed to be obedient to the word of the Lord. And that's why then God rejected him. He said, the Lord has rejected you from being king because you rejected the word of the Lord. And that's what these preachers have done in America. And even these Hutterite preachers, like you went and told them about water baptism in Jesus' name and God sent a prophet, and they rejected it. It's the same God today as he was yesterday. If you don't receive, if you reject the word of the Lord, then he's going to reject you. How can he accept you if you don't accept what he has for your day?
Yeah, it's going to come on these people today. We're just do exactly what the Lord told us to do, and we've had to pay a hefty price to do it. We had to pay a big price to be obedient to the Lord. We didn't care about the sacrifice and all that. We just cared about one thing: Lord, use us for your glory. Mm-hmm. Give us an obedient heart, and that's what happened. And then the day came when I had to go tell these preachers what they're missing. We told them about the prophet. God sent the prophet, put my life on the line to tell, because I knew back then, I knew if I tell them what the Lord put on my heart, they'll do exactly what they do with everybody that gives them a position that doesn't agree with them. That system is made up because behind it is the spirit of Satan. Satan does not want people to find out what we're telling them the truth, that God sent the prophet. He done works overtime to hide the fact that God sent the prophet. And that's what the Lord wanted me to go up and tell them, and that's what I told them. And they rejected it, and then that Blumengar Jake and that Mike from Summerfield, they were kind of the bishops at that time. And I told them, right, had them in my house. And I told them exactly what I'm saying here. But see, they rejected it, and then they die like an animal. God just rejected them. Because God had a thing for the Hutterite back when that split came, when that Jake clan started, and they went to the court and the court case and all that. God was moving in the Hutterite, and God had the answer right there in the council. I told them exactly what the problem was. I told them, your said baptism is not of God, it's of the devil, it's built in Nicaea, Rome, and just the birth of the Catholic Church. Well, they decided, we don't need to listen to you, you're just a troublemaker. And it all went, everything I said was given to the wind. And then now they're going to suffer the consequences. But there's another group coming. The group that believe what we're saying here, they're going to just go right over on into the marriage supper of the Lamb, over on into the millennium, over on into eternally. That letters program and that Hutterite program will not have eternal life. It does not have eternal life. The only place they can take it, more tradition, more loose and regulation, and it'll take them out to hell and death. But this program, this is of the Lord. This is not my program. We're just being obedient to the Lord, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. Because we want, at the end of the day, we want to have an expected end. If you come on board, it'll do exactly what the Bible says. It'll take you out. It'll take you out to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Whosoever will, let him come. This is that stream that you and I are bringing out here to a lost and dying world. And all you have to do is partake of it. Come and drink of it. Drink of it. It's not a little stream running out in the valley. It's the word of God. It's the word of truth for you today. That's what this here is. That's that stream that we're talking about. If you come and partake of it, believe you me, it'll do exactly what the Bible says. It'll take you out to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is that invitation Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever is a thirst, let him come. Whosoever hear it, let him seek out. It's just that simple. It's not, and you and I, we're not going into reverse. We're not going to go back to the compound and join up at that Leonard's program. It's not going to happen. We're moving straight ahead, pedal to the metal, and that's the only commission that we have to do. All we need, Lord, now is obedient heart to continue on with the program, whatever it is. I don't know what's up the road here. But it's joy unspeakable, full of glory, whatever it is, because everything in the Lord is happiness and joy unspeakable. And if you want to come on board, you got to do something about it. You got to do what we're doing. The Lord woke me up. Sam, I want you to get up a little earlier and sing some songs. And then later on, I want you to get up a little earlier and bring in the day with prayer. And then I want you to have these daily breads. That's God's program. And all you got to do is come and do exactly what we're doing. You don't have to join us. Mm-hmm. You just don't have to come here and live with us and stay with us. All you got to do is go at home and do the same thing we're doing. And let people know where you're staying. When that glorious rapture will come, you're just going to be part of it. Like I keep saying, pray for Israel. Pray for the priests of Jerusalem. Because there will be peace in the valley. And if you pray for Israel, if you pray for priests of Jerusalem, you will be part of that glorious adventure that the Lord has when he's going to start moving, when he's going to get rid of all these enemies, all these terrorists. And the same thing here. Pray for Lorraine, because Lorraine is designed and predestinated to be in that bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you hate Lorraine, you're not gonna be in that bridal ship, but believe you and me. You're not gonna be in that dimension. That's why it says pray for Israel. Pray for Lorraine. Pray for people that are standing for truth so that you can someday enjoy the luxury of being part of it. That's all you gotta do, because the Bible says he that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet, he will receive a prophet's reward. When we heard about Brother Jack, about Brother Branham, about the prophet of the age, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, we believed it. And we put our shoulders to the wood. And we're still believing it today. And we'd let make sure everybody that knows us knows that we believe that very thing. He says, he that believes in the prophet, he will receive a prophet's reward. You can trust the word. That's why we're on this thing. That's why, and there's joy unspeakable, full of glory. We can't wait to get up in the morning and be about the Lord's business. And then to create an atmosphere where these ministering spirits, these angels, they're just ministering spirits. They're sent out to those that are heirs of salvation. And if you create an atmosphere, they'll be with you throughout the day to keep you from harm and to keep you from diseases. Like I said, that COVID didn't touch it, because we had already created an atmosphere where that so these diseases can come nigh our dwelling. It's just that simple. Life is not that complicated, but you got to put on a bit of an effort and show a little bit of humility, show that you care about your children, and you just simply tell them what we're saying here. Just that simple. You don't have to start up a new program. You just continue with the program that's been done. You don't have to go search for it, because we went and searched for it, and we spent all our lives looking for this thing, and then we found it right in the ministry of Brother Branham, and then God moved us on to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then when they passed away, God was testing everybody. We'll find out who is then that faithful and wise servant that's going to bring forth meat in due season. That's all we're doing. We're doing about the Lord's business. That's his program. All we're doing, we're just putting it out there for whosoever will. Let them come and partake of the waters of life freely. It's right here, right in front of everybody's face. Just that simple.
Yeah, and you know, you want God's protection over your life and over your family's life. And there is safety in that, but you have to follow the ways of God. You can't expect God to overshadow you with blessings and safety if you don't follow his ways, you know. And then, just like it says in Psalms 91, if you do that, if you make God your dwelling place, it says, thousands, though a thousand may fall beside you and a multitude on your right side, it will not reach you. And that's what God can do for a person that seeks him. There can be a pestilence, there can be catastrophe all around you. But God's going to make a way for a person that seeks Him, that does His will, and He will do that for your whole household if a person puts in an effort and makes sure that they make God, they're the Most High, their dwelling place. But with it comes obedience to doing the Lord's will. You're not going to get His protection and His blessings if you're not obedient.
Yes, it's over now. God knows those that put their trust in Him. He's going to make sure when there's a whirlwind coming, there comes a tornado through, or a hurricane, or all kinds of, or anything, whatever, disasters out there, God will make sure that you're going to be protected. And He says He's going to make a way in the whirlwind. A whirlwind is that tornado that comes. He's going to make sure you're protected in there. That's the God that you and I serve. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need in the hour and time we're living in, to protect you from, first of all, from the deception that's out there, from a tremendous deception in these pulpits. That's all they're geared for. They're geared for one thing behind it, just as per to say, to deceive even the very elect, if it would be possible. And that whole mechanism is engineered by Satan, because Satan is the prince of this world. His days are numbered, and just up the road here, and 2 years from now, there'll be no more Satan. 2028, that's his 6,000 years. We found it in the scripture. We found exactly the day and hour we're living in, and we keep seeing it over and over again. God gave me the revelation of that midnight cry. February the 28th, 1963 was the middle of the church age of Laodicea. Then we know 1906 was the beginning, and that brings it to October the 15th, 2020. That was the end of the grace age. And from there you get 7 years right to the day. You get 1,260 days to the middle, then you get 42 months to the end. Then there is no more Satan. He's down in hell, and that angel comes down and puts a chain on, and he is not heard of anymore. Like these angels in Jude. Like I told them, they're chained into everlasting chains of darkness. But Lucifer and his crowd, they're still roaming around the earth, seeing how much damage they can do, because God left them here to test you and I. And then throughout the millennium, there will be no more devil. The devil will be all tied up till the end of the millennium. See, God got that whole thing all blueprinted out. It's so simple a program for you and I. I remember as a kid reading the book of Revelation, reading the Bible. I didn't understand nothing. And then by God's grace, because we found grace in the eyes of God, He brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham. And then it opened up and He gave us the revelation of the six seals and all these things, the churches, everything that we know. We found it at the feet of that great apostle and that prophet, Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. That's where we get our information from, because we were babes such as would learn.
That's right.
Willing to be taught, because that's all we ever wanted in life. We wanted to know the understanding of the scriptures. And now God, like I say, we found grace in the eyes of God. Nothing to do with us. We just found grace in the eyes of God. And the Lord let us know what was right through the history, right through what happened in the last, really, 6,000 years through the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Mm-hmm. Even way before that, Brother Jackson took us into the prehistoric. What happened back when the testing and fall of Satan, when Satan was tested, and these angels and Jude were tested. God, we've got this all, this is for me. Now all we're doing, we're putting it out there, and now here it is at the ending of time, that living water. It's that living water, it's that message, the truth for your day. You're hearing it right through the lips of really that angel. We're just telling you what that angel is telling us, and we're telling you what Brother Brenner and Brother Jackson did in their ministry, then left 80 years of their preaching. Brother Brenner preached for 40 years, and then Brother Jackson preached for 40 years, and we're just telling people what happened in the last 80 years. And that's all on commission we have. Holding on to the fort, just telling people what's be going on. If you and I wouldn't be doing this, there would be no sign of what happened in the last 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's that simple.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us have obedient hearts, Lord, to purge out all the rebellion that's in us, Lord, so that we can reach that statue of the Lord Jesus Christ, that complete creation that you wanted, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, help us, Lord, day to day, that we that by your grace, Lord, that we can make it, Lord. We just give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.